There's a new international front in the seven-year-old civil war in Syria, and there are a lot of players here, and it can be really confusing to follow who's on what side of this war. You have Russia and Iran, who are key backers of Bashar al-Assad in Syria. You have Gulf Arab states and Turks trying to help the rebels. Today, after seven bloody years, the Assad regime has firm control over most of Syria, except in the northeast, which is up for grabs. And that's where we're going to put our focus today with the help of Jamal El-Shayal. He's a correspondent for Al Jazeera. He joined us from a cafe on the ground in Gaziantep along the Turkey-Syria border, and he's going to walk us through this extremely complicated picture.
The Turks, together with their proxy or their allies on the ground, the Free Syrian Army, are pushing towards the city of Afrin, which is in the Idlib province. And the reason why Turkey is so concerned about the situation in Syria is not just because it hosts close to 3 million Syrian refugees inside Turkey, but because there is a Kurdish militia group inside Syria, which has connections to another Kurdish militia group inside Turkey, which Ankara considers to be a terrorist organization. The group inside Syria is called the YPG. They are linked to a group called the PKK inside Turkey.
So Turkey's interest here is to fight the Kurdish force in Syria, the YPG, which is linked to the Kurdish forces in Turkey known as the PKK, that it considers a terrorist group. And it's important to note here, the United States also considers the PKK to be a terrorist group. And so you might think that the United States would be fighting alongside Turkey since they both consider PKK a terrorist group, right?
This is where it kind of is a bit tricky, is their sister branch, the YPG in Syria, is actually an ally of the United States. So the U.S. has been sending weapons as well as technical support to the YPG. In fact, in the past 24 hours, the International Anti-ISIS Coalition, headed by the U.S., conducted airstrikes which killed around 100 pro-Assad fighters who were en route to attack the YPG. So essentially, the U.S. has thrown a lot of its weight behind this Kurdish militia inside Syria. It's something that the Turks have been very agitated and angry about because the YPG have been actually launching rockets on Turkish soil, which have so far killed seven Turkish citizens in the past week or so.
And then you have another player, fighters from the Free Syrian Army. Those are rebels fighting against the Assad regime. Now, they have also joined the fight alongside Turkey against those Kurdish YPG forces. Again, the United States backs the Free Syrian Army. They've even trained those fighters. And the U.S. also backs the Kurds, a key ally in the region. U.S.-backed forces fighting U.S.-backed forces. Jamal El-Shayal, what's in it here for the Free Syrian Army?
One of the main causes behind it is that these fighters have been fighting for freedom since the revolution began, and the YPG has actually been in cahoots with the Assad regime. So they have a common enemy with the Turks, which is the Kurdish fighters. The Free Syrian Army don't like the Kurdish fighters because the Kurdish fighters have been on the side of Damascus from the beginning, but also because they've accused the Kurdish militia of actually carrying out similar practices as ISIS have, in that they've tried to ethnically cleanse the Arab population of certain parts of northern Syria, in that they've conducted extrajudicial killings in terms of publicly executing Arabs in the middle of the street and other ghastly practices. But added to that, obviously, the FSA owes a lot of its weaponry and its capability to the Turks, who have supported it or at least have allowed for reinforcements to go through Turkey to them. So strategically speaking, they're allied in the sense that their existence is very much owed to the Turkish government and the Turkish military.
This now seems to be a battle between two sides, both trained, both funded by the U.S.
What appears to be the case is the U.S. has lacked clarity in its Syria strategy, not just right now in terms of the Trump administration, but even during the Obama administration, where initially there was very clear messages sent by Secretary of State at the time, Hillary Clinton, that Assad must go.
The world will not waver. Assad must go, and the Syrian people must be free to choose their own path forward.
Then there was the red line that was decided by the Obama administration of the use of chemical weapons.
We have been very clear to the Assad regime, but also to other players on the ground, that a red line for us is we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized.
And once that red line was crossed, still there was no military intervention. The FSA feels that the U.S.'s support has been very limited and maybe more so of a token gesture than one of commitment to supporting a group which believes it is struggling for freedom. The support that's been handed to the Kurdish militia, however, has been a lot more extensive, a lot more significant, not only in terms of weaponry, but also training. But maybe what's more important here as well is, as you mentioned, the conflict now essentially that seems to be unraveling between two major NATO allies. In fact, they are the largest two militaries inside NATO, that is the U.S. Army and the Turkish Army. You have, on the one hand, the U.S. Army supporting the Kurdish fighters, and on the other hand, the Turks essentially actively battling them out, seeing them as a threat to their national security. And that's why General McMaster actually is headed to Ankara in the next 48 hours, followed by Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, who's due to be in Ankara on the 14th and the 15th of this month as well, so late next week, because unless these politicians can actually find a way to agree on what parts of Syria they will be involved in, who to support, who not to support, like I say, you could be staring down a scenario where you have NATO's two biggest members essentially fighting each other either indirectly through proxies or, God forbid, even directly through their military personnel who are present on the ground inside Syria.
Jamal, what about further south in the country? There are reports of chemical weapons on the scene again being used by Bashar al-Assad. What's his status now?
Well, I mean, the most outrageous thing is the use of chemical weapons, and there's been no preventative measure taken to ensure that they are not used again. Obviously, partially because the Russians have been using the veto in the Security Council, but also because the U.S. has been incapable of putting its money where its mouth is in terms of when it decided that chemical weapons was a red line, but that red line was crossed so many times, people assume that maybe the U.S.'s authority in terms of the international community and its standing was heavily dented because it was unable to back up its threats with regards to the use of those chemical weapons and ensuring the protection of civilians.
Jamal El-Shayal, correspondent for Al Jazeera along the border between Turkey and Syria. Jamal, thank you so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.